Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update. I forgot to say good morning, but good morning. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by two wonderful guests. First is Dustin. How you doing, Dustin?
What up, what up? I'm doing good. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And we also have Brent Wagamon. How you doing, Brent?
What's up, robot?
Not much. We just dropped the Brent interview podcast for the Taryn Show this morning. So very excited about that.
Yes, rave reviews already. People just cannot believe that in the 42 years I have been on this earth, I have done so many things, but it's true. So make sure you check that out and give some good feedback to Taryn and let him know how good he's doing hosting that show.
I listened to a good majority of that show's. Very surprising, some of the things that that you've done. It's,
I know,
it's
right?
Wonderful.
Crazy. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. We need to do a live feed update on Brent's life. That's basically what the Taryn Show is. All right, so we are here to talk to you about everything that's happening on the feeds. We're going to tell you about what happened yesterday. And just to start off the day, Ramses just did nothing. That's the update. Ramses did nothing, and the veto was not used. Brent, how do you feel about this?
Terrible. I mean, I guess it's interesting to see that a super fan, a self-proclaimed super fan, I can't actually believe he is one, play this badly and this timid and this shy. It is just, it's infuriating. Worse, almost worse than somebody like Matt, who doesn't know any better. Like, I don't expect anything from Matt because he's an idiot and he's never watched the show before. But somebody like Ramses just says he's a super fan and then just totally whiffs when it comes to trying to save himself. I don't know what it is about Ramses. I think he internalizes a lot of his panic, and what he needs is to externalize it. He needs to be more jumpy about the fact that you could really go home this week, and you're probably gonna.
Yeah, Whitney in the chat says, dressing like Matt turns Ramses into Matt.
Right? That's a good one. I like that. Totally.
Yes. So Ramses ultimately doesn't do anything here, and the veto is not used. So Ramses is still up on the block and looks like he's still going home. Dustin, how do you feel about Ramses going home this week?
As far as I can tell right now, it's 100%. There has been, you know, a few things here and there, a lot of hints being dropped at different things coming down the pike. But it seems like Paul's group has this on lock at the moment. And I think it would kind of take a small miracle for Ramses to turn this around. And I think a lot of that would have to come from him himself, because I don't think he's going to have a lot of people pushing for him to switch things up. I think everybody wants to get through this week as it is. Move on to next week.
Taryn, I actually was not sure what your question meant, because you said, Dustin, how do you feel about this? And I was like, is the question, how do you feel about this? Like, is this going to happen? Is Ramses going to go home? Or how do you feel about this happening? Like, how do you feel about Ramses going home? And I'm like, I'm actually pretty okay with Ramses going home, because he's not giving me anything right now. And this was his one chance. This was his one chance to show me, you know what? You're not that entertaining. You're not giving me anything in the diary room. You're not causing any drama whatsoever. But you know how to play the game. You know how to play the game, and you can't even do that right, girl, bye.
Yeah. I like to leave my questions open-ended, so you get to answer however you like. I'm glad I got both perspectives there.
I, too, am like a robot. I have no emotions.
Yes. So Christmas immediately starts going around and telling people, hey, I want to give Josh a sympathy vote. I don't feel comfortable with sending him out unanimously. He voted for me. He had my back. I want to do this for him. Jess isn't super happy about this and is kind of sketching her out. But she did ultimately say, like, I do feel better about the fact that there's probably not an alternative plan in the works, because why would she say this if there was? Which begs the question, why would she say this since there is, Dustin?
This is, you know, and it's good that it's coming off to Jessica. Like, it adds that little bit of shade of, well, this is so crazy that it must be real. But at the same time, I think that Christmas is doing this completely self-interested. She's the person who took the initiative to, you know what, I'm going to go against the grain. If everybody is locked down on their lying of we're going to send Josh home, I'll be that one person who, you know, comes in and says, I'll give you that sympathy vote. And she's the one that's going to look good toward. Yeah, well, she's not actually going to look good toward Josh, because Josh already knows the plan, but she's going to be the one that kind of
she's going to look good to Jessica and Cody, I feel like. Because okay, she's not sure. The betray. I mean, I feel like I watched your live feed roundtable last night with The Replacements. By the way, very, very great show. I love hearing different perspectives. Everybody mm-hmm. was very, very fun and energetic. I disagree, and I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was you, actually. It's probably you because I usually disagree with you. Someone who thought maybe it was Liana, and I rarely disagree with Liana.
I think it was Liana.
Except when it comes to Drag Race, that this is a bad plan. Like, I think this is a great plan. Dustin, I feel like her going to Jessica to say, I'm thinking of giving Ja vote, sympathy vote. Like, you're always mad at the betrayer. At least Christmas is being honest with her and saying, you know what? I am actually feeling like I want to vote for Josh to stay because he gave it to me. Like, when the votes come in, I guarantee you, Cody and Jessica will not be looking at Christmas. They'll be looking at everybody else.
Yeah, she'll be at the bottom of that list of who betrayed us. It'll be like, well, they did this, they did this. Oh, and Christmas was already going to do this anyway. We knew about that. So she's kind of, you know, setting herself up for at least 1 week because, you know, odds on favorite is perhaps Cody might win the next HOH and she doesn't want to be that immediate target.
Yeah, I think the counter to that is it could also go the other way where and we talked about this last night, but they could be thinking, you know, everything was fine until Christmas started talking about a sympathy vote and then everything shifted and they could associate her with the flip, which it has happened before. So it could go either way here. And I do think the most interesting part of this week is who is going to take the fall for this flip.
I feel like, look, your concern is valid in maybe any other season. I feel like the people who would be betrayed at this point, namely like, you know, Mark and Cody and Jessica, they're going to behave very emotionally, and I feel like they're not going to hold Christmas accountable. I feel like she's doing herself, I agree with Dustin, very self-interested. To my knowledge, she did not clear this with Paul and say, hey, I'm going to go tell them that I'm going to give them a sympathy vote. She did tell Paul afterward, and then Paul confirmed that, hey, your vote is still going to vote to evict Ramses, right? No matter what she says. And of course, Christmas is like, yes, I will. By the way, just to update that situation, Christmas did tell Jessica, as Tara notes, that she wants to give Josh a quote-unquote sympathy vote. However, Jessica has not, Christmas did say, if you're not okay with that, Jessica, then I won't do it. So Jessica may very well foil Christmas's own plan by coming back to her 2 days from now, which is what Jessica wants to do. She wants to let it just lie for a day or two and then come back to Christmas and say, you know what, I'm not okay with that. I told Ramses I wanted this to be unanimous for him, and it needs to be unanimous for him. Well, so we'll
see. At the end of the day, Christmas is going to have to make a decision in terms of, does she want to keep playing this game of lies, or does she just want to stick with what the true numbers are? You know, does she want to stick with what Jessica thinks is happening, or does she want to go with what is actually happening with Paul and his group?
That's when I agree with you, Taryn, that she could be held accountable if she has like a bunch of lies that kind of like compound on themselves and then she's found out about it. Like, that could cause her problems. I feel like her mistake, if she's going to go with this plan, is to give Jessica veto power over it. Because as you've seen from this week, Jessica doesn't like to use the veto sometimes, and she should not have given it to her because Jessica might want to say, I'm going to use it this time. And if she does that, then the whole point of the plan is moot in the first place. So I don't get it.
We have a question from Stephanie who asks, does Elena know yet about this whole flip on Ramses? And the answer to that question is no, still not. Still in the dark here.
And which, I disagree with you that they're going to tell her. I know you said on the feed show and you said on the roundtable last night that Paul's going to tell Elena and that he should. I feel like he should, but I feel like he's not gonna. I feel like, I don't know if Paul's bored. What do you guys think? Do we think he's bored? Because this is so anathema to the way he's been playing this season so far. Everything's been about friendship, friendship, friendship. And now you're going to have four pissed off people who are all comp able on the other side and they could come after you. I don't like this move.
Elena is being kind of brought into this tornado. She's getting sucked into what's going on with Jessica, Cody, and Mark. At first, she was kind of that outside realm. We still have Elena. She's still our friend, but we're not going to tell her because she might tell Mark. Now she's being swept into the, you know, these guys are running around. They're trying to, you know, listen into our conversations. They're trying to lie to us. So she's slowly turning into the same kind of target that Mark is turning into.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this because it really confused me that he hasn't told her yet and that he still apparently doesn't plan on telling her. He had a conversation with both her and Mark, a couple conversations actually yesterday, where Elena said to him straight up, I don't trust Cody. I'm not on board with Cody. Like, she is with Paul and not with Cody. but he doesn't seem to care. And that confused me. I think what's happening right now is that Paul feels comfortable with the numbers he has, and he's doing what he was doing before, where he was making out Ramses to be this big target. And he's now, like his whole game plan is, I'm going to create targets ahead of me. He had Cody, he had Ramses. Now that he's getting Ramses out, he obviously has Cody, but I think what he's doing is he's setting up Mark and Elena to be the next targets. I think he doesn't care that they're on his side right now.
I feel like it's a house split, though. I mean, it's not split down the middle, but that's a lot of people. I mean, I know Jessica can't play for HOH, but I still feel like, I mean, I'm going to bet on Cody every day of the week in any HOH competition that they can put out there. And Elena is no slouch either. I know Mark has been a bit of a waste, but still, I would really, really be fearful that Cody could win. And as Matt correctly pointed out on the feeds yesterday, they're basically over when it comes to the competitions, unless it involves a team sport where they were all handing Paul their tickets and then Paul won HOH for them. So Matt is rightfully fearful of the fact that if they go through with this blindside, that they could end up on the block if Cody or one of his allies wins HOH.
Yeah, I think it's a risky move because I do think that you have to be very careful of who wins these competitions. However, I do agree, if this is what he's doing, that he does need alternative targets, and that's going to come in handy when Cody and Jessica reveal that they have this temptation and they're ultimately not going to really be able to even be put on the block because they need somebody to go after. And right now he has directed that toward Mark and Elena, which is good for him because they're not looking at him right now. However, again, it's so risky because Elena was so loyal to him and she is good at competitions and she's also very social. I could see her reintegrating herself and turning this around on Paul if he's not too careful. So I really think he should still go after Elena. Just leave Mark as an alternative target. You don't need Elena to be the alternative target. I think she's the dangerous one. Mark is just erratic. He can, he's just like, he's not that dangerous. I think that if you leave Mark as a target, then you're ultimately fine. What do you think, Dustin?
Well, I think, and especially with Mark, even though he's a big, strong guy, he's no slouch, but he's not a huge competition threat. Those big guys don't necessarily do great in most competitions. Elena is definitely the one to look out for. It sucks from Paul's perspective that he has to kind of cross her in this way. But if you're looking for a big target, let's say Paul or one of his closest allies is HOH next week, and they have to put somebody up, and Jessica reveals, you can't do that, or if you do, you're going to be in a shitload of trouble. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. You're going to have somebody there. You're going to have a backup. And I don't know if Mark has enough bad will toward him and to rally the entire house to get him out over somebody else. Whereas Elena at least is that competition threat. She was stood up on that wall next to, you know, Alex and Jason, stood the whole way. That's a lot. And she's been really great in challenges. So I would mark her before I would Mark.
Yeah. By the way, did you just apologize for swearing? Because I was going to actually give you a gold medal for that. No. I would concur with that in part. I will say that after this veto win and the HOH win, which again, that competition went like 2.5 hours and most people dropped out after like, you know, a minute or two. Jessica has really proven herself in the eyes of everybody. So I feel like that on the list of targets to go home right now, it's Cody, Jessica, Elena, Mark. Like, but there are a lot of people who really dislike Mark. So it's sort of like, who gets HOH and what is their agenda? And then how does the temptation come into play? Because as we found out yesterday, Jessica decided to tell somebody about her temptation. So I wonder how that's going to play.
Yes, Jessica tells Kevin about the temptation.
Of all people.
Yeah, Kevin, I guess she either trusts Kevin or thinks that Kevin will leak this. I don't really know what her game plan was in telling Kevin, but ultimately, and this is interesting, she doesn't tell Kevin about the temptation. She tells him about a temptation, a theoretical temptation that she could have.
She lied her ass off, basically.
Yes. She said that it would last 4 weeks, I believe, from now. So she's pretending that it's another 4 weeks. And I mean, which is, you know,
you should have said it lasted 3 weeks.
Should have said it lasted 6 weeks, because if you say 4 weeks from now, it's like, that's, you know. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, she said that it's basically a coup d'etat. Like, if you put me up, whoever puts me up, they're going to be in trouble. I'm going to go after them. They're going to be on the chopping block. And so Kevin now knows that Jessica has the temptation. He has a good idea about what it does. Brent, how do you feel about this move? This is their lie. She's lying to Kevin. This is what I wanted her to do. Did she go too far, though? Is this too unbelievable?
No. Although Paul, because of his ignorance of the game, and I don't say that as a player, I say that more as a BB historian. Paul, when confronted, Kevin said to Paul, Kevin was very, very coy also about this. He did not totally blow Jessica's cover. He did not tell anybody that Jessica told him outright that she has the temptation. He just said that he thinks that Jessica got it, and what if she can do this? What if she can take people off the block? Paul shot down the theory that Kevin said, what if she can protect other people? Paul said, no, she wouldn't be able to do that. Like, my pendant was only for me. She'd only be able to protect herself. Again, of course, that's wrong as well. Jessica told Kevin that she can change one or more nominations and that it's good from 4 weeks after this week. So that's what the working assumption is. To answer your question, I like the move. And this is the reason why. I feel like you need a little bit of time to let the lie percolate a little bit in the house. Because this is going to get out. Kevin's not going to, you're bored in there. Kevin's bored to tears. He's going to tell somebody today. He's probably going to tell them a little bit more than what he said yesterday. And by Thursday night, this will have taken hold. And I feel like it looks more suspicious on their part if they wait until they're in danger to then reveal it. I like that they are revealing it now when they are in a position of strength.
Yes, we have a question from Kelly in the chat who asks, are they allowed to lie about it? And this has been a question I've seen asked around, because normally we do have the announcement that is available. You are not allowed to use production as a strategy. And this is a tricky situation. We've never been in a situation where somebody's had the ability to lie about a power like this. We see it all the time in Survivor, but it's kind of it's a muddy scenario where it's like, is she allowed to lie about a power that she got? Or will she have to like stay within certain confines? What do you think, Dustin?
Well, it is, you know, this fine line of, I think, where they're going to draw that line. But she hasn't been called out so far by production. And like you said, she's lied about the duration of this temptation. She's also, I don't know if it's really a lie, but she's kind of fabricated how it ultimately works. It's kind of like she's insinuating that you can't even nominate us, where it is that in reality you go all the way to eviction night and then we put a stop to it,
right.
I don't know how far she's going to be able to go. It seems to me like she's basically changing the entire structure of what this temptation is and getting away with it. But I have to imagine if she said like this is good all the way to the final three, they probably kind of at least bring her into the diary room and say, yeah, don't do that. I don't know if they'd make an announcement.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with Taryn. I was waiting for the you can't use production as a strategy announcement. Never came. I think that when you introduce something like the Den of Temptation into the game, where basically the rules are not written and you can't like be like Chrissy and go to the rule book to find out what the hell you're dealing with, then I feel like it's incumbent upon production to stop this in its tracks, or they have to be totally fine with it running like wildfire. Like, they have to be fine with her making up anything, saying anything. Like, there can be no half measures here. Either she's allowed to lie about it or she isn't. And right now she's lying about it. I feel like they're going to let her get away with it, because I think they're going to go with that it's a temptation and she wants about whatever she wants about the temptation. And they're just going to, I feel like with purists like us, we're going to be irritated by it. But I do sort of like the ingenuity and the creativity thinking about doing the Boogie thing of using the thing and not using it. Maybe that was where the line was crossed. You know, Boogie wasn't allowed to tell anybody about the fact that he had the coup d'etat, but he basically told people he had the coup d'etat in All Stars when Chicken George was HOH. And I feel like that in this way, they're also sort of letting her get away with like stuff around the edges.
Well, how many more? Okay, so we have this Thursday, and then how many more Thursdays is she able to use it?
Two more evictions.
Okay.
Right.
So obviously she's not going to use it this week. But it's if she gets all the way through there, we might not even come across this problem, and it might get exposed because she more than likely could be nominated next week or the week after. And any lies that she has about how long it's going to last, I think are going to be surfaced because she's going to have to stand up and use it. So it's, I don't know. I just don't know how much mileage she's going to get out of this.
I don't think she cares, though. I mean, once the votes come in and she realizes she's been blindsided, and she's already fearful of that because she knows Paul's running around trying to save Josh. She found this out late last night. Cody let her in on the fact that Kevin and Josh were talking. I feel like that she's just going to want to make sure that they get two more weeks and Cody and her end up in jury minimum. Like, that's what they're looking for. And she also said that if she gets four and she has not yet used the temptation that she wants to make a deal with the nominees to save them, I don't really know if that's going to work. As Cody correctly points out, if you save somebody who's likely going home with a power, the next week you're probably the targets anyway. On the other hand, they're the targets anyway. So, you know, I don't know. Anything could happen at this point, Tara.
They've got that stigma on them that you know, they're the clear target no matter what. They just happen to have the safety. That would be interesting if we ran all the way through. She didn't have to use it on herself. If she could use it on somebody else and save somebody and maybe make some allies out of that, that would be interesting from my perspective.
Well, I mean, I think it's much more valuable as a lie, even yes, not having it, than actually using it. I do think that what you have to do with these kinds of powers is what they did in All Stars and say, you can't tell anyone, because once you're able to tell people, A, it's not going to be used, because if you tell people you have this power, you're never going to be put in a situation where you have to use it. And B, it's far too powerful if you're able to say it lasts for a certain length of time, because it doesn't matter how unbelievable it is. Who is going to risk it? Who is going to say, okay, well, nobody else is copping to the fact that they have the temptation, and this is, if this was theoretically the last one, it could be very powerful. And I don't want to risk putting them up and then going up on the block and going home like Jesse from Big Brother 11. It's very powerful
first
to be
of all,
able to lie
there are
about
a couple,
it.
There are a couple of things going on here. I saw someone in the chat, I wish I could have seen who asked the question or made the statement. They said, why doesn't that flush the temptation? Well, first of all, there's no such thing as flushing the temptation. You're gonna have a wasted HOH or you're not. In Survivor, when you flush an idol, you're basically like throwing the votes onto someone you're okay with going home with if they use the idol, and if they don't, splitting the votes, that sort of thing. But here, there's no way for you to really get away with that, because if you're the HOH and they come to you and say, hey, we can overthrow your nominations at any time, you want to get something out of your week, then you're not going to go against whatever Cody and Jessica say, because, you know, unless they're really asking you to put up your own allies, I feel like at that point. But I feel like Cody and Jessica are smart enough to know that they can't go that far with what they're asking. So I agree with you, Taryn. They should have done this, taken a page out of Big Brother Canada. Thank God it's coming back. I should have took a page out of their rule book. They always say you can't tell anybody about like the war room or this power or this power or whatever, or you risk being evicted immediately. That's what they should have told Jessica. And then this power would have most likely been used.
Yes, we have a question from Brett in the chat. Any guesses on what the curse is Thursday? We still haven't heard anything about this curse that affects the whole house. I keep forgetting that it's going to happen.
I know, right? Hey, like, how badly planned is this? I mean, my God. Like, I mean, we saw her get the power like last Thursday. Then Dominique was evicted. She didn't use the temptation. Then they had the battle back episode on Friday. Then a Sunday show. Then a Wednesday show. Finally, on the Thursday show, the ramifications of the curse come into play. This looks terrible, and it looks like they're messing with the game on purpose.
Yeah, and they had already waited 2 weeks to do this temptation, so they're just stretching it out and stretching it out. It's getting aggravating at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if Julie came on Thursday and was like, and the curse for this temptation is that, surprise, you've all made it to jury. Congratulations.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, 11-member jury. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about Kevin and how he knows about this temptation. He did go around and he talked to Jason first, and then he talked to Paul. And as Brent mentioned, he didn't outright say that he knew about the temptation, but he said like everything else. I think the BB president on Twitter was like, he beat around the bush so bad that it's just bare bush now. It's just like there's nothing left. It's like a flamethrower to the bush. He was like, listen, I don't know anything. I don't know nothing.
Well,
but I think she's got it. And I think she can take people off the block, and I think she can make the eviction cancel. But I don't know nothing. What do I know? It's just my guess.
I know, right? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what her purpose was in telling it. Maybe she just got bored. You know, that happens. On the other hand, I would love it if she purposely, like, leaked this information. Like, you know, one of my favorite shows is Once Upon a Time, and they have a guy on the show, Grumpy the Dwarf, who they, you know, anytime they need information to get out, they always go to him, like, you know, he'll tell everybody, the curse is coming. So it's like that. I feel like she wanted this information to get out, maybe. She wanted the house to know that she's invincible. Maybe that gives her a sense of power. But she hasn't really expressed those feelings to Cody, like, you know, this was my plan and let's see if it works out. It was just something that she sort of said to Kevin and never really spoke of. So I think in my, like, fanboy dreams, I want her to be able to, like, thinking that cutthroat, but I don't really think that's what's going on. I think she just probably got a little bored and felt like she could trust Kevin.
She has been spending a lot of time with Kevin ever since Cody left. And I think out of all those people, he is one of the, you know, one of the guys that she spends most time talking to, and he has such a natural ability to talk to anybody and feel like your best friend that I'm not surprised that she shared that information with him. Though in her situation, like you said, Brent, if we go the mastermind route here, how brilliant is that? You know, Kevin is going to spread this stuff, and he's also going to spread misinformation, because even if she told him exactly what it is, he's not going to remember exactly what she said. And so the paranoia of not even knowing what this power is might be stronger than knowing the actual power of the temptation.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I agree with Taryn about the thing you said about it's stronger as a lie. Like, what if it comes to week four and they're not in danger? I feel like it's best not to make a deal with the nominees. Let them be evicted. You're one step closer to jury or to the final two or whatever. Somebody else is gone. And the house might still believe that your power is in existence. Now, at that point, production would have to make a call and say, are we going to let this go through? They're letting her lie right now. I feel like if you let her lie now, you got to let her lie going forward. So I don't know. It's an uncharted territory, Taryn.
Yeah, I think I could. Yeah, I think this would be kind of sketchy on their part, but I could see them being like, all right, all temptations are now, you know, null and void.
Right, so it's like Jeff Probst at the final five, where this is your last chance to play an immunity idol. Maybe something like
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I could see that happen. As far as the curse, I have no idea what the hell they're going to do on Thursday, but I agree with Rob that they're always looking for something to do on Sundays, and they probably need maybe they bring back the food competition. That'd be fun. I don't know. I'm lost. I don't know what they're going to plan. Sorry, really quickly. I see a lot of people in the chat saying, could it be a reset? Like in Big Brother 16, when they press the reset button, where they have to do everything again. No, I do not believe that, because then you'd have you could have the potential for 2 weeks of non-evictions happening back to back. And there's no way they're going to do that.
That's already what the temptation is, basically.
Right, yeah, exactly.
If anything, I think it would be the opposite, like a double or triple eviction.
Right.
Talking about Kevin and the way that Kevin is going about telling people about this, I don't know why he wouldn't just come out and say that he knows that she told him, because it comes across that he knows exactly what's happening. Like, he was told and now he's not revealing everything. And it should be brought up that Alex is still on to Kevin. She's still not super happy with Kevin. She feels like he's been feeding her bad information, study information on days.
Yes, and she's of the fact that she's on to that, because Paul has told Kevin, don't tell anybody about the dates. Kevin has been telling Alex false information, and I love the fact that Alex is aware enough to note that and realize that it's a ploy.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation for Kevin. I mean, I like the move. I've always wanted people to be like feeding bad information. But the fact that Kevin has been caught with these hinky votes before, it's really putting him in a bad position with Alex. And it's gotten to the point where Alex is telling Jason, we should keep Josh over Kevin at this point.
Right.
Granted, I don't see them going after Kevin anytime soon. But Kevin's sketchiness has not gone away. We thought it might have over the last week with Cody coming back and all that craziness, but Alex is still on to him, Dustin.
Yeah, he goes around. First of all, after Jessica shared this information with him, you know, he goes around and the way he presents himself is sketchy, like you said, you know, like, hey, she's not playing it cool, but I think something's going on. Of all the people in the house, he doesn't know a single thing about this show. How is he coming up with any of this information? And now when you're talking about studying the dates with Paul and stuff like that, he's smarter than he looks. Right. This is the thing with Kevin. This guy is way smarter than he looks. And he might not know the whole history of the show, but when he knows something, he's going to remember it. And the fact that he's sharing false information with Alex, and she's a smart cookie too, it's they're picking up on each other, I think. And this whole thing with Kevin being sketchy, I don't think that's the route that he wants to go. He has, with most of the house, proved that he is such a likable person and such a, in some ways, a trustworthy person, because you know he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. I wish he would get out of the sketchy territory. I wish he would just play things a little more honestly, and I think he'd be safe for quite a while.
And here's the thing about Kevin, where Alex is good to have caught on to Kevin, right? But the thing is about Kevin is that he actually is pretty loyal to Alex. He wants to go to the end with Alex. Whereas Josh thinks that Alex is a very good liar. He doesn't really trust her that much. So it's this weird situation in Big Brother where, yes, Kevin is lying to you and Josh isn't, but Kevin actually wants to work with you down the line and Josh doesn't as much. So you have to be careful about where you place people just because you've caught them on certain things.
Well, that's the thing. It's all about perception. It's about, you know, how do I perceive my bonds with these people and what is their agenda? And right now, everything's just a little bit crossed in terms of who do I trust and who do I feel like I can go far with? I know people think that, you know, that the house is breaking right down the, or sort of down the middle, with like four on one side and then the rest of the house on the other. Paul's minions, as we've been calling them. But there are a lot of little like mini agendas within Paul's group about people that they like and people that they don't like. And all it's going to take, I feel like, for that to break open is, like, you know, people just, they flap their gums too much. So if somebody's going to hear something, or somebody bringing up their name, they're going to get offended by it. All of a sudden the target switches to somebody else and you're off to the races. So this house is not going to hold for long.
This is the part of the game. This is the point in the game where everybody has really established relationships and true friendships, and you get to know somebody. And so, like, you have a larger group like Paul's side of the house, and they all feel very friendly with each other. They're sharing all these funny stories. When Cody and Jessica walk by, they whisper because they have a common enemy. You start to feel friendly with each other, but there are those separations within that group. And somebody, like you said, Brent, is going to slip up, say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden they're going to start eating each other.
All right. So speaking of Josh, he got a little freaked out last night. He was lots of people were talking, and, you know, he is on the block, so he started to get a little worried. He ultimately talks to Christmas, who reassures him and talks to him about, like, listen, I already said that I'm gonna vote for you as a sympathy vote. I've got your back, you had my back. And he comes away from that conversation thinking, you know what? Christmas is my number one. He talks to the cameras. He says, she is my girl. She's my ride or die. I like Paul too, but man, Christmas is who I want to work. Christmas tree, I believe he said. I want to work with the Christmas tree. So that bond has been solidified. Good work for Christmas, I think, especially because a lot of people think that they have Josh in their back pocket, Paul especially. But Christmas is the one that has his loyalty, for now at least. So good work by Christmas.
Yeah, he said that Christmas is his ride or die. Frankly, I was glad to see Josh acting a little bit concerned. I can only put up with this much of cocky Josh. Like, cocky Josh is no fun. I need to see a little bit crazy Josh, a little bit unsure Josh. You know, nobody likes to see somebody who's holding all the cards in the poker game. And I feel like for the last few days, I feel like Josh has been holding all the cards because he knows exactly what the plan is, what's going to happen. Paul has been protecting him and he's been, you know, dancing in front of the cameras. And that's all good and fun. I don't want Cleo the Leo on Twitter getting mad at me. She, whoever, said famously, if you don't like Josh, then you don't like Big Brother, because Josh has given us everything that we want. And I agree with her. However, a little bit of subtlety is nice every now and then. And I also like a little bit of humility in my contestants, unless you're talking about Janelle.
All right. Finally, we had Cody and Jessica talking about their plans next week. Cody is now saying he definitely wants to go after Paul, but he's not sure who he can put up next to Paul to get him to go home. He suggested maybe putting him up next to Christmas. She can play the sympathy card because of her foot. And then ultimately decided, well, we need to backdoor him. And then Jess is like, too bad. I want Alex out first. Alex is the bigger threat. So I mean, they're making plans here, but ultimately I think all of these are going to fall through as soon as as soon as Ramses goes home, right?
I just don't understand this, Dustin, because like she had like they're making first of all they're running around trying to make sure this vote is unanimous. They're trying to make sure Ramses feels okay. They're trying to make sure that the votes don't go the wrong way. They know Paul is campaigning against them. They're worried about everything, and they're already planning for people that they hate that they want to get out next week. Why didn't you put those people on the block? You could have taken Ramses off and put up Alex, and then, you know, whatever happened, one of your enemies goes home. I just would like to, like, have 1 minute with Jessica and say, you know, like, what are you thinking right now? This is just nuts. I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated by this, you guys.
And she's got the chops, and that's what's so frustrating about it, is you know, yes, she could be a good player. And I think it's a mixture of two things. She's scared of being on the bottom, and she's also got this stigma of being with Cody, you know, an outside influence that didn't come with her in the game. They met in the game. And otherwise, I think she'd be a great player. But this whole week, their approach was, let's do the easy thing. Let's not make waves. You should have just made waves.
Like, I know.
There's only two of you.
I don't.
Like, you don't know that you're going to win HOH next week. Just do what you got to do.
Here's the thing. If you're going to follow through, and she is with the whole thing, like, we're going to lie about this temptation, and the house will, you know, they'll think whatever we want them to think, basically that it's a coup d'etat, then go with that plan. Throw up two people who you don't like. Who cares if you have to nominate somebody else? Like, Cody was all afraid, you know, I nominated five people the first week. You don't want to be like me. Who cares? Nominate people that you want to go home. Big Brother 101. And then, you know, whatever happens with the house, it's out of your hands. You can't do anything about it. But then you have this thing in your back pocket. It's almost like Rob said, where, you know, like, having this in their back pocket has really made them so cautious. And I feel like that is such a misplay of how this should be played right now. They should be bold. They should be like they should be on top of the world and say, like, not only are we getting what we want this week, but you cannot put us up next week. But that's not how they're playing it right now.
They got 2 to 3 rounds where they can really make some bold decisions, bold moves, and they are wasting it.
Yeah. All right, so that is our update for today, unless you two have anything else you want to bring up. I do like this week. It's an interesting week because we are looking forward to a blindside on Thursday. There's a lot of little maneuvering within that group that is planning the blindside, as far as like who is going to get struck by this when Cody and Jess strike back, because they will. They have this temptation. They will be able to keep themselves safe for 2 weeks, and that's a lot of time for Cody to win an HOH and take a strike at them. So interesting stuff. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the feeds. And make sure you check out the Taran Show interview with Brent Wolgamont. Very, very interesting and fun stuff. It should be up on iTunes. The Taran Show, T-A-R-A-N. And then, of course, we'll be live after the Wednesday night episode with The Veto with Alex Willett. I believe, Brent, you'll be on that show, right?
Am I? I don't know. I just DM'd her like earlier today and said, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm not going to be on that show because I'm going to be with Karen. So I think Melissa was on that show.
Right,
Melissa's not in town. I'm happy to do it. But yeah.
I do think Melissa is on that show. And then I believe I will be on with April Lewis on Thursday.
So jealous
after
of you.
Live eviction. Yes.
How did that happen? I want to talk to the scheduler.
And also, again, make sure you keep a lookout for Karen when she comes back. That will be very, very fun. All right. So that is our episode of this live feed update. We will be back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.